Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly and deeply grateful that you chose to be with me on this 13th day of March 2021, and we're going to be looking at our petty little minds and what we do to them. I don't think there is anything in this world that is more, shall we say, sad than what we do to our minds. Many people eat well, you know, they eat healthy food. That's wonderful. I do too. Many people are kind of, what do I want to say, protective about their health and what they do and their well-being and their finances. They protect that and they have financial help, I'm told. But the one thing they seem to neglect, and people neglect all over the place, is the mind, how we think, where we think from, what we're all about with our thinking. And if you don't protect your mind, you will find that your brain, your thoughts, your way of living is deeply, deeply impacted. You will find that your mind is set on trivial things. Your behavior will change. Your small-minded, parochial thinking will change into kind of a spiteful thing. And when you have that kind of mind, and I have all sorts of friends and colleagues who are like this in my life. The pettiness that they live in mentally and coming from the emotions and all the things that they think, say, and do, they think they have every right to think, say, and do. I've seen it. I've watched it. I've listened to it. In my years of counseling, over 50 years, I sit there and I listen to petty mind. How did our minds get this way? How did your mind become fixated on things that really don't matter? Things that are giving you the maybe the right to do vengeance or live in the pride, maybe develop a pride for what you think and how you think and your behaviors. I am astonished, literally, at the things I've heard and seen over the years. I don't understand why people don't take care of their mind. I think part of the issue is that in doing the things that take care of your mind, you would also have to do some self-examination about your emotions. And I think that has a lot to do with it. And people, they don't like to curb their emotions. They don't like any part of their emotionality being restricted, as it were, or disciplined. So we're going to get into this. Here we go with the first question from Sean. And he says he lives in the Northwest. That's all he'll say, and that's fine. I was surprised to feel and to realize how petty I am at this age, 48, he said. I don't know what to do about it. My pride seems to be more important than my basic truth. Wow, basic truth. I wonder what that means. Anyway, and then he goes on and on and on to talk about how petty he has become. And then at the end of his letter to me, it was interesting. He said, and I want to quote this, "If any other person were like what I have become, I would hate them," end quote. What to do, Sean? Wow. Great, great letter. He actually sent me a letter, and I admire that. I think that's wonderful. Sean, you got petty because of a lot of things. We all get petty for a lot of reasons. There's a great deal of pride in being petty, and it has to do with the whole idea of being either a victim or right or trying to show who is the biggest buck on the hill. especially with men, who's the biggest buck on the hill? We deal with our DNA. So let me explain a little bit, Lucy, here about our DNA. Our DNA is our survival mechanism, and we use it not only to survive in the biological way, but in the psychological way as well. Who is the most right person? Who is the one that most people believe? Who is the person that is the most right? And then we like to pick apart people, diligently pick them apart. If we're not careful, this picking apart is something we do strictly out of ego, vanity, and pride. It all goes back to one thing, Sean, and I'm just going to try to cut to the chase here a little bit. It has to do with low self-esteem. And the more you have a sense of your self-esteem, the more you will find the source of your pettiness, and you can do something about it from there. It isn't that you have to necessarily go into your brain and pick things out and say, okay, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to say that. It's the source. You've got to go to the source. If you don't go to the source of the issue, the whole thing, any strategy you have for, shall we say, self-examination won't work. You just won't be able to do it because you have to find out where the roots are of your thinking. My roots, your roots as a human being, all are in the chemistry of our brain, the genetics of our body, and those things determine our self-worth and our esteem. How do you esteem yourself? How do you look at yourself in order to stand out? What is the motive for anything you think, say, and do? What are you really all about? Now, if you understand that, if you can persevere into that, really understand what your self-worth is all about and what you're all about in that self-worth, then you can understand that you genetically inherited all of this. Pride, vanity, pettiness is qualities of our emotionality that we inherit from our genetic patterns and inheritance from our forefathers to our current, you know, mother and father, that kind of thing. It's all in there. And I have seen people say and do things that are absolutely self-destructive. And that self-destructiveness, they won't look at. They think they have every right to do it. This is why marijuana and drugs are so, and alcohol, obviously, is so important to people because they feel so bad about themselves. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. They don't care to know who they are. They don't care to understand what they are. So what they do is they have this very bad feeling inside when they're socially with people, and they just can't deal with it. They won't deal with it. They won't see what it's all about. And even if they did see what it's all about, they don't feel like they have the capacity or the means to deal with it and to transcend it. So what they do is they drink, they smoke pot, they try to forget who they are. If you look at yourself in the course of a day, you're probably in the mechanism where you're trying to forget who you are all the time. You're trying to do things that psychologically, emotionally, and shall we say socially, bring you to a level where people will respect you, where people will like you, and that is as far as it ever goes with you. You're not going to go into love. You're not going to examine your emotionality. You're not going to humble yourself enough to really see what's going on. Who wants to look inside themselves and see what a putz they have become? Who wants to do that? Nobody wants to do that. Really. I was talking to one of my colleagues the other day. He has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea that the only reason he is doing what he's doing is to get the adoration of his congregation. He has nothing to say that would help anybody. He just, you know, moans and mumbles and jumbles and says things rehashed over and over and over again, and people like to be lulled to sleep. He doesn't understand what it's really all about. He told me, he said, you gotta make people like you first before they'll listen to you. And he's right about that. He is right. But the thing about it is, so they like you. Why do they like you? Because you say the things that are petty and trivial. And we see ourselves doing this in social settings all the time. All of us do. Have you ever caught yourself droning on with your petty mind that is characterized by getting involved in gossip and trivial matters with other people, where your small-mindedness starts to turn into a spitefulness, an anger, a fear? You start to put people down, and then you find yourself becoming a gossip, but you don't want to admit it, blah, 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 blah. It goes on. That's how we have ruined our minds. We have pointed them in the wrong direction. If you want to really understand the nature of your mind, understand the nature of your emotions. If you want to understand your emotions, you need to start understanding genetics. Read the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky. If you read that book, if you understand it at all, if you can garner insight, you may want to look at Sapiens and Homo Deus. If you start to look at these things, you'll start to understand you are a product of your biology. You are a product, Sean, of your DNA. You're a product of your genetics. And if you think that's good enough for you, then that's good enough for you. And you're going to find that your pettiness brings about a lot of small-mindedness, parochial thinking, and that's where your life will be for many, many lifetimes. You'll develop karma over it, blah, blah, and there you are. That's the way most people live. Sean, you're going to have to do some self-examination. You're going to have to start looking at what your mind reacts to and why you're so defensive about your living, maybe even defensive about yourself. And then the antidote, of course, you know what I'm going to say. You're going to have to do a little self-examination. You're going to want to see the emotions that you work from, and you're going to have to get off the drug of emotion and meditation. Meditation is a great liberator. It really is. Something for you to think about. Or not. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Robert. My mind is becoming my mother's mind. Oh my God, he said. Am I fated to live her life? Robert. No, Robert, you're not fated to live her life. You don't have to live her life. You don't have to live in this craziness. You really don't. But how I admire you and respect you for the ability and the willingness to see how your mind works. It is amazing to me that you were able to do that. What a wonderful thing you've done to actually see that your mind, genetically speaking, was inherited from your biology with your mother and father, and you somehow, with the chromosomes and all the other chemicals, endorphins and oxytones inside you, you have become your mother's mind. Now, what to do? Okay. So you need to explore deeply what her emotions were, what your emotions are, and how you interpret whatever is happening emotionally speaking. Then before you even can answer that question, the bigger question has to be sitting in you somewhere. And that is, What am I afraid of? I want you to really just sit there and ask, what am I afraid of? If you start to look at it, really look at it, and see what you're afraid of, it'll become very clear to you somehow within you that what you're afraid of is rejection. You want to be, shall we say, circled by the wagons of friendship and family in order to get the accolades that you call love into your life, so you don't have to listen to that inkling, that urging, that instinct that you're no good, baby, you're no good. That's what it's really all about. Now, once you understand this, once you get this, once this, starts to seep into yourself a little bit, you'll start to realize that the fear of rejection, of being alone and being lonely, is the thing that most frightens you. And then being made to feel that you're lesser than someone else will start to cause your emotions to get angry and crinkle, as I call it, within myself when my emotions start to bug me. And then you will see that all of a sudden you are injected with all sorts of chemicals in your brain, and you will start to react and act out of those chemicals. And how you will know is you will have what we call a mood shift. And when that mood shift happens, when someone can say something or do something that alters your mood inside, you may know that the chemicals have rushed to a certain place and now they are making your mind formulate through chemistry assumptions and conditions to, so to speak, defend your ego. And the ego is more important to most of us than we'd ever like to admit. And now in this world, when I was growing up, the ego thing was looked at as a weakness. Now it's looked at as a strength. And there are some people who teach that you have to have a strong ego and you should defend it, yada, da, yada, da. And that goes on and on and on. Yeah, you're probably turning into your mother. I can see how you might feel about that. But if you really look at it, you realize you don't have to. You can change. If you don't live by the body, if you don't live by the impulses of your emotionality, if you can let them pass, if you can allow them to be there and let them pass without acting on them, that's taking care of your mind. You're going to have these impulses to say and do things that are small-minded, that are characterized by being spiteful and nasty. Somebody makes a mistake with you. Somebody isn't clear about what you think they should know about you or something you're involved in. And rather than asking them what is going on, you get angry at them immediately. You start to judge people. You start to judge yourself. And what are you defending? You are merely defending the ego. You are not taking care of your mind. You are succumbing to your emotions. The mind has no sense of what is right and wrong. It just coincides with whatever the emotions are dictating at the moment. And it's all due to chemistry. You can't stop the chemistry. You can learn how to allow the chemistry not to affect your behavior and your final mindset. If you develop a witness, a watcher, someone who watches how the mind works. I have spent years just sitting there watching the Gregory mind and how perverse it is, how out of control it could be, how angry it could be, how jealousy and pride could set in, and does. But I don't act on it. And I don't think it's really very hard not to. Really. It, when you see it for what it is, you just turn aside and walk away. You're not judging in third person. You're just watching. So you just walk away from it. That's it. You don't allow it to be something that defines you. When you allow your mind to be defined by your pettiness, you are sunk. And you are a slave to the ego. And you don't really want to do that. And then, of course, you can't meditate. You will have to use drugs or marijuana or alcohol. And that's a very big thing. So that's what people generally do. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, I have to hurry. This is from Ross in California. He says he lives just in California. What happens to the mind as we grow old? He says, I am losing it slowly, he says, Ross. I love the little story you told, Ross. Thank you. Typically, our body chemistry starts to change. The endorphins, the chemicals that create serotonin, they all start to diminish. The testosterone in men starts to go away, and in a funny kind of way, that's really a good thing. And the estrogen in a woman starts to decline, and that's probably pretty good too. You start to see what drove you to do the things you used to do when you were younger. You know, it was all chemicals in men, obviously, testosterone. But as you go on in your life, then what happens is you may not have the drive to be as tyrannical and petty as you once were, but you're dealing with your ego now, which has become the accumulator of your whole life, the facilitator of your life, and now you have to deal with all of that, and that's no fun at all. So what to do? Live in love. Well, that's easy for me to say. That really is. Now, by the way, that series is really good on Aspire. You ought to watch it. The thing you need to do, obviously, is very true. Write down, get a journal, write down all the petty things your mother thought and did. Just write them down. You really have to sit there and write it down. You have to remember, what did my mother do here? What did my mother do there? What did she do in relationship? How'd she handle money? How did she handle herself socially? How did she solve problems? From whence did she solve problems? How did she reward me? How did she punish me? All of those things have to be looked at. And once you start looking at them and start dealing with them by looking at how they affected you, then you have to ask yourself, do I want to continue the saga of the way my mother rewarded and punished me, how my mother lived? Just start looking at it. How did my mother look at this thing or that thing? Money, you know, like I said, relationships, sex, the whole thing. Take a deep look at it. When you write it all down and you look at it, you'll be able to see kind of the blueprint of the way you have been thinking and what you have been thinking. And it is from there that you can change the ebb and the flow as you sit quietly. And instead of constantly reacting, you start to see from your emotions that you are defending your ego. You are defending your pride. You are defending a part of yourself that is anemic now, because you're growing older, and now you can start to make the changes you need to make. And it all goes back to Henny Youngman when he said, "Doc, it hurts when I do that." And the doctor says, "Don't do that." And that is really as simple as it gets. I hope that helped you. Thank you so much, Ross, for your question and your little story. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful day. We'll be back on the air mañana. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.